following program is an unrehearsed personal opinion program intended to allow the comments of the public on various issues and topics of discussion. The opinions expressed are not the views of this station or the sponsors. Now, here's comment.
And good morning, everyone. Mike Burge along with you on the comment program this Monday morning. It is our fortunate opportunity here to visit with some representatives from the Ballantyne Community Schools about what's going to be going on as we get ready to reopen, hopefully here in less than a month's time anyway. We have Ballantyne Principal Andy Cronin and also new Superintendent Mike Holley. So welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
First of all, I want to visit a little bit. We know Andy. We've had him in here a few times. Mr. Holley, we haven't had a chance to really meet you, so I thought maybe we'd take a minute to start things off and welcome you to the community, and you're now getting settled in for a couple of weeks now anyway, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. And, it's starting to feel more like home all the time. I was fortunate to be able to be picked up on a team and play in the Chamber Golf Tournament last Saturday, and I've been able to get out to Merritt a couple times and go tubing down the river. So instead of just getting to do all those fun things and then drive back to Scotts Bluff, I'm getting to stay here and get to work here and just getting to know more and more people here. So, yeah, it's starting to feel more like home every day.
When did you actually assume the duties as superintendent, the transfer from Dr. Isom?
July 1st was my start date officially. I was able to do some things transitioning throughout June to, while she was still here, to kind of pick on her expertise a little bit and get the lay of the land with a few things.
Pick on her, that's kind of a common phrase. We all did that, didn't we? At some point or other, anyway, we picked on Jamie. But we appreciate her being with us and coming in and visiting with us over the years on the comment program. And hopefully, Mr. Lolly, we can get you in and once in a while after the board meetings update people on the radio of what's going on there. But you're not a newcomer to education. You've been around the block a time or two here. So what's your past experience? You come from Scotts Bluff, right?
Yes, I've spent the last 9 years as the high school principal in Scotts Bluff. I was in that district for 13 years. I've also served as the principal at Minotaur Public Schools, taught and coached for, I believe this is year number 29. So I've done a lot of football coaching, basketball coaching, teaching. Been at Laurel Concord in the northeast corner. I've been at Mitchell High School. So I've been around a little bit and I've had a lot of experiences with a lot of different size schools and a lot of different age levels.
And an experience that nobody's had before is this whole COVID thing as you transfer schools and get in the middle of this. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today was what is the Ballantyne Community Schools program, I guess, to get back on track here when we start school. So you put quite a bit of time this summer into putting that plan together.
Yeah, we did. We know that our ultimate goal is to keep kids and staff safe. You know, safety is the number one thing. So we have to figure out, okay, what things can we put in place to do our best to make sure that that happens. And we worked hard on working through our ESU in Ainsworth. They were forwarding different plans to us to look at that were out there, and we were able to take a template that we liked and get together with the team and start to develop the plan. I think one thing that I'm really happy about is we got a lot of solid input from the parents in the community, and it was a great, we sent out a survey, and it was an astronomical turnout of parents that completed mm-hmm. that survey, and we really appreciate the input from that. Teaching staff was the same way. We sent another survey out to our teaching staff, and it was very good participation in that, so we feel like we have some solid input and feedback that helped us create the plan. And
I would think also coming into the situation with Mr. Cronin and the other administration there where you can bounce things off them, they have a pretty good idea of how the staff works and the strengths and those kind of things. So that had to be important getting this put together.
That's been great. And they're a crucial part of the team. And we, you know, as we gather the feedback from all the different entities, they, you know, they had a big say in how we constructed the plan. So that's, yeah, there's a lot of people's hands in it. And we hope that we've covered a lot of things, but we kind of know that there may be things that come up that we don't have in the plan. So we're going to have to be flexible and be willing to adjust as we go forward when something happens that we didn't really account for, if that's the case.
I think everybody's become accustomed to that since March or so of adjusting kind of best case scenario and moving forward with what you can put together out of that. Now, Andy, you were here in March when things kind of hit the fan, so to speak, and the school system did a good job, I think, of adapting, trying to get that school year finished out in a tough time. And so now, did having the summer to plan on this fall give you guys a sense of any relaxation or anything that, hey, we're solid going into the fall with our plan?
Well, I think we're real solid going into our into the fall with this plan. I think we did, and I appreciate that. We got a lot of positive feedback from the community on how our district handled that. Starting on March 13th, you know, we're just kind of thrown into the fire and had to get things figured out. The parents did, and the community did an amazing job supporting their kids. There's a lot of questions and stuff, but we got through it, and I think we did a really good job. One of the things that I know we focused on with this plan moving forward, and each building is going to have a little bit of their own, changes to what occurred in the spring and applying that to the fall to make it better. You know, look at those things of like, was our communication good enough? Was the communication too much in some cases? How did we handle the grading system? How are we going to keep kids engaged in the social emotional needs of the students and stuff like that? And hopefully we'll just have school as normal. And
that would be great.
That would be fantastic. But looking at it, we needed to take a look at what we did and then make some alterations to that so we can, make it even better.
And Mr. Lally, this isn't exactly a foreign thing to you because you were at Scott's Bluff when this started, so you could kind of see what they were doing there and bring some of that with you here, I would think.
Yeah, I was in Andy's shoes at Scott's Bluff, and we had to really modify what we were doing, go strictly to remote learning, utilize Google Classroom as a platform to get assignments to students, which they're using here. So I'm fortunate to be familiar with what Andy's had to go through and lived some of that myself, and we just have good conversations with our administrative team because I think we all bring out what we're thinking of that affects us in our particular buildings, and that helps us to bring everything together and come up with that comprehensive plan.
Well, let's talk about that plan. I don't know how many pages it was. There's 7-8 pages or something like that to the plan. To simplify this, I'm sure this plan's available to patrons of the school district if they'd like it, but let's kind of simplify things today. And how is this going to work? First of all, what's the first day of school for classes here in Ballantyne Community Schools?
August 13th. And then some of the kids will start on August 14th. Depending on their grade level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they'll be ready to implement this when they get back into the school system. Let's talk about, you kind of have it split into, unfortunately, I guess, what's become familiar of a green, a yellow, an orange, and a red category. And since 9/11, we've all been kind of familiar with some type of criteria. Red's not good. We want to keep it in the green category, right?
Yeah, as much as possible. And green is as close to normal as we can get, and it's still going to be a little bit different. The green area means that there are no confirmed cases within the buildings, and there are no directed health measures telling us what we can or can't do. So we're going to try to operate as close to normal as possible, yet still keeping student safety and the community safety in mind. So we will add temperature checks in there. We're going to just make sure that we don't have anybody spiking a fever that's in school and close contact, and we'll ramp up the sanitation and disinfecting of areas. And that was something that was loud and clear from both parents and staff on the surveys, that if we're going to be in school and we're going to be in session, we need to make sure that we are really cleaning things appropriately so that we don't have a virus sitting around and then being transferred. So There will be some things that are ramped up, but the green area will operate as close to normal as possible.
So when you talk about temperature checks, is that temperature checks for students every day when they come in, or staff, everybody?
That is both. Staff will do themselves. They'll just temperature check and put it on a log, and just to keep track of it to make sure they're doing okay. And then we will monitor students when they come in. We'll temperature check them, and if they are spiking something above 100.4, then we'll evaluate that further and see if it's a legitimate concern or not.
Okay, so you're not going to test them every day when they come to school. That's probably a relief to those guys, is other than the temperature check.
Correct.
All right, so the next step then, anything else about the green level that, I guess we're going to go to whatever they call stage four in the North Central District Health District is going to go to stage four, which is not a lot of restrictions starting the first, which is Saturday.
Yeah, and we're hopeful that some of the people that we compete against, whether it's in school activities or different areas that we may have conferences with or different things, we're hoping that they're in the same boat that we are, so we're able to have those competitions. That's a whole nother thing when somebody in our North Central Health District, we're all in pretty good shape here, but if we have to compete against somebody outside of that, then we're going to have to really evaluate all pieces and components of what the risk level is for everybody involved with that, and if those schools that we're scheduled to play are even able to play us. So
as of right now, it looks like the fall sports lineup in football, volleyball, golf, and cross country is intact, ready to go.
If everything stays the same as it is right now, we are ready to go.
All right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and say a little prayer there. Okay, so just to play the devil's advocate here, guys, what happens the first time somebody gets a temperature above 100.4? What you mentioned about some protocol. What's going to happen there?
Well, I think, you know, just following the programming, like Mike said, it's you know, at 100.4, obviously we don't want to ring any bells or sound any alarms or anything like that, because, it, you know, there's other things people can be sick from right now, too,
right,
that would cause that. And I think we just take it, you know, case by case, take a look at it. We have school nurses that will be involved in that process as well, and, of course, you know, contact the parents. You know, really, I don't think anybody wants to do anything drastic until we know for sure what the cause of that temperature is. I mean, for some people, it could be, you know, a toothache or you know, some other type of thing. So, I mean, you're looking at it in case-by-case situation. Now, again, that's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, we have a plan. How that unfolds is kind of going to be how we react to that. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know, Mike, if you have anything else to add to that, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, and we'll encourage a doctor visit to just try to make sure you find out what is the cause of that temperature and get it taken care of either way. And then once they are fever-free, then, you know, they'll be able to return to school after that.
So is there a criteria that would bounce it from like a yellow, which might be somebody testing or somebody showing up with a temperature and stuff, to go to the next level, to go to the orange level?
That's one thing that we're relying on North Central Health Department heavily. Mm-hmm. We have to pretty much go by their advice, and they've approved our plan. And we go to the dashboard on there on a daily basis, and we'll just check each day and see what level we're at. And right now we're green and we'll hope to stay there, but they will let us know if something's moving levels, and we'll kind of know how many cases might be confirmed, so we'll know if we're in yellow, if we're actually closer to the green, or if there's more cases and we're getting closer to the orange. Even though we're still in yellow, we'll work closely with North Central Health Department to determine that exactly where we're at on that dial and what we need to be doing.
So what can the public do? What can the parents do as far as monitoring things at home? What about a football game where you might have a couple hundred people that are going to show up at the gate How can they help out in making sure things stay green?
Well, I think it's just like it always has been with all of this. I mean, we're all under the same umbrella trying to make everything, safe for everybody. We don't want to put any pressure on our local health department and our hospitals and clinics and things like that with, more cases. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that we're in this together as a community and a school. And there's going to be individual cases where maybe our plan's not working perfectly for this family or that family, but it is for maybe a couple other families. And I think just the whole idea that, the trust that what we're doing is what we think is best based off of the feedback from the community, but then taking care of their individual families. If you have somebody who hasn't been feeling good, has been running temperatures, I mean, be honest, and nobody wants any student or anybody to miss out on things that that they want to be a part of. But at the same time, the overall picture is to keep that community safe. So, go to the doctor when you feel like there's something, and get checked, if tested, whatever, and then just be realize that there's a lot of people that can be affected by this. So if everybody takes those precautions, I think we'll be fine.
And to be responsible. I know you guys have set out several different scenarios of what happened. So you go everything from green and we're breezing through this with no problem to a total remote learning experience. So you've got a plan in place to handle everything from top to bottom, basically. So what about the technology of doing the remote? If you had to go to remote, everything good to go? Everybody's got a home computer, a tablet, or something that they can do that on. The school's all set up for that, right?
Yeah, we are. And I'll let Andy elaborate a little bit on that, because I think it'll be similar to what he went through last spring.
Yeah. Yeah, our technology department and consumer-driven technologies has done everything. They've been really good at making sure we're ready to go. We have one-to-one at the middle school and the high school, but I know Mrs. Wannenberg has enough iPads and things like that for the families at the elementary as well. And, we're looking at the feedback from the students and the parents and the teachers on this, and we're going to make some changes, trying to make it better than what it was in the spring. And one of the largest feedbacks was, nobody really wanted plain remote learning. Some people, they wanted some pencil paper as well. So we'll take a look at how we can do that, but yet still maintain what the health department's parameters are. So, I mean, I think we're ready to go. I mean, our teachers all summer long have been working pre-K through 12 to create better plans and lessons and ways to engage students. Their wheels haven't stopped turning. They've been going to, we had a large group of teachers do a virtual Google Summit workshop over the summer to get better ideas and apply that in the classroom to make a better product for our students. And the other part to that is to where they're, there's more easily more access by the student, the teacher there to be able to help out. So, hopefully that the parents get a little more support there. And so they don't feel like they're on an island. I think we did a good job of that in the spring. I really do, but that's one of those areas we can always improve on.
So, parents and families can really help out by still being careful outside of the school setting so that they don't expose themselves somewhere that the kid comes back to school or whatever and maybe starts running a temperature or whatever. So they still need to practice the normal social distancing and those kind of things that have been under the directed health measures, it sounds like. And, we talked a little bit about remote learning. What other kind of things? I guess open lines of communication between the parents and the school, so they better make sure they've got their updated phone numbers and addresses and all that kind of contact information with the office.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. We have forms and stuff at the beginning of the year. That's one of the things. If somebody has moved or changed phone numbers, I mean, that's a real big thing, that cell phone number that, people don't always often realized that, hey, you know, maybe the school needs to have this so we can contact them. But that up-to-date information, especially for our office staff, is really something that needs to be updated. But yeah, anything that parents feel like is pertinent information that we might need to know, that'd be good to have. You know, the other thing we got to take into consideration here is, you know, the teachers. I mean, they're going to be in the trenches with the kids, and there might be most exposed people out there if we were to have something like that. And so we also need to provide them with time to plan and be a teacher. And so we're going to be looking at maybe that's one thing we're going to look at as far as remote learning, at least at the high school, and I'm sure the middle school and elementary school will do something similar as to, you know, the teacher's work day back in the spring was basically 7:30 to 10 o'clock at night, answering emails, grading papers, doing phone calls and stuff. And I feel like we need to condense that down a little bit to give them time so they can get refreshed from one day to the next and overall just be more effective too. So
they don't have to work a 14-hour day or something to get everything done.
Yeah, well, they put those in during most of the time, but yeah, it's we want to communicate the best we can, but we also want to look out for our teachers and our staff that need to do the planning. So,
I think that even though things went well in the spring with the remote learning and stuff, a lot of the kids, you mentioned the psychological factor earlier on. It's important for the kids to be around each other in the structure, and it just seems to create a better learning environment. I don't think I could have done remote learning when I would have said, no, I think I got to go ride my bike or something, you know. I'll learn how to jump a ramp or whatever today on my bike. So different kids all learn in different manners, but overall it seems like the school experience is vital for their growing up.
That is a key piece for them, I think, and we're hopeful that we get to continue that.
Is there anything else on the plan that we need to emphasize today? We kind of talked about the different, how would you tell parents, whether it's, if it goes from green to yellow or whatever, is there a protocol to say, here's how we'll notify parents of the situation?
We'll utilize our Thrill Share program, and we'll put the word out in a variety of methods. It'll be on Facebook, Twitter, on the website, and notify students and do everything we can to get the word out there, utilize you guys.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Andy, we got on your mind here? Anything else that we've got to share before we let you go?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we got a graduation ceremony coming up this Friday for a class of 2020. So we're excited to be able to offer something. You know, DHM's back in April when we first planned this thing. Honestly, I don't think anybody thought we'd be at the point to where we could actually have a small gathering of students and family members to help them celebrate this. So that's going on Friday at 4. So, you know, wish the class of 2020 luck. You know, and then going forward, you know, class of 2021, hopefully they have a normal year and get to experience everything and aren't in the same boat as the class of 2020 come spring. So
I think your fall sporting events start like August 10th. Is that right? That they can be starting practices at that time?
I think that's the, yeah.
NSAA, right. I think it has still dictates on that, which seems late. I don't know if it is or not, but still gives you 18 days of practice before the first football game and 17 before the first volleyball game or something like that. Mm-hmm. So no changes to sports schedules or anything like that at this time. What's on the calendar right now is what we're going to go with. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys spending some time with us. Mike, welcome. You're always welcome to come back in anytime you've got something to share with our listeners. And we can maybe after each board meeting, you can either come in or assign somebody like Andy to come in or something. And Andy's been here a few times. But any other staff members that you'd like to bring in and talk, you know, you're more than welcome. We'll line that up as the time comes.
Thank you.
Welcome to the community. Andy, good to see you again. We'll be looking forward to seeing you probably on the 28th for football or something, if not before.
Sounds great, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys. And again, we've been visiting with Superintendent of Valentine Community Schools, Mike Lawley, and Valentine High School Principal, Andy Cronin here. Again, starting school August 13th and 14th. And if you're interested in finding out more information about what we talked about, of what the protocols are going to be for getting back to school and everything, you can get a hold of the school, and they'd be glad to sit down and get you a copy of that as well.
The opinions and comments of those heard on today's program are the opinions of those involved and not the views of this station or its sponsors. Radio KVSH reserves the right to control the content of the program as it deems necessary. If you or your organization disagree with views on